tell you once more. Please get out of my way. I don't want you no more.
We're done here, boy.
Hello and welcome to Women Leading in Cannabis. I'm your host, Kira Reed. Thank you so much for joining us today. Our guest is Maja Sulamanji Borchek, founder of High Haven, a vertically integrated cannabis business in Michigan and Illinois. Welcome to the show, Maja.
Thank you, Kira. It's lovely to be here.
Maja's expertise includes 5 years of cannabis experience working in the Illinois, Maryland, Pennsylvania, and Ohio medical markets, spanning various roles, including Director of Marketing and Outreach and Chief Communications Officer. Notably, Maja served as Interim Chief Communications Officer for leading multi-state operator Grassroots Cannabis up until it was acquired by Curaleaf Holdings in 2020. Prior to joining the cannabis space, Maja worked in healthcare business development for over 15 years and has a master's degree in public health and business administration. Maja's passion to help others is evident in her valiant and persistent efforts in community service. She's been awarded and held officer and board positions for several organizations. Maja aspires to bring awareness, safe accessibility, and compassion to the cannabis industry. It's great to have you on the show, Maja. So let's start at the beginning. What is your cannabis story? How long have you been in the industry? And how did you find yourself pursuing a career in cannabis?
Thanks, Kira. Hey, it's been an interesting journey in cannabis. I've had a long-term passion for the plant and have known so many great, you know, just personal stories and anecdotes of the cannabis space that back in 2014, when legal medical cannabis came to Illinois, which is my home state, It was just a really pinnacle time in Illinois, I think, for us. And as you know, as a person who's going through navigating the business world and with, you know, all of the healthcare background that I brought to the table, this was just something so interesting to me. And because of myself being a consumer of the plant for quite some time, I thought, you know, what a great place for healthcare and for wellness to kind of merge. And we started to have, I started to have conversations about the industry and starting to research a little bit more. I'd been a national normal chapter member for quite some time and just, you know, started to do my due diligence around the industry and found that, cannabis was just a huge, huge and growing industry back in 2014. And sure, California had been doing this for a while, but out here in the Midwest states, it was very different and very new. And so I started to dabble and found some networking opportunities where I met a couple of really great people who introduced me to Canna talent people and to different people who had won licenses in Illinois and really ended up having a great opportunity to meet with two of the owners of a newly established dispensary licensed winner for 4 medical licenses. And help them really put their 4 medical licenses to use in Illinois, helping them with patient acquisitions, helping them build their brand. From there, they only grew to become a much larger organization that took on, you know, over 40-some, 60-some dispensary licenses and ended up with a cultivation brand and vertical integration and just a huge, huge amount of growth there in a very short amount of time. So just an exciting part of that. And previous to all of that, you know, the healthcare side of the compliance and the compassion and just the interesting, you know, real, I guess, you know, Venn diagram, I guess, the area that meets in the middle, that particular area for cannabis and healthcare just was really, really evident and overwhelming for me. So I decided this is what I was going to do and join a career in cannabis. And here we are today, many years later.
It's pretty amazing the stories that all go back to, and then I met, and then someone introduced me. It's one of the things I love so much about this industry. It really is a community. Okay, so tell us about High Haven. What is your mission with the company, And how are you going to incorporate inclusion and diversity into the organization?
Yeah, absolutely. So inclusion and diversity is a big part of High Haven's vision and what we're looking to accomplish. And, you know, what High Haven is we're a vertically integrated cannabis company. And, you know, we call it vertically integrated. It sounds so posh and, you know, whatever that is, but we really handle the entire supply chain. We you know, we grow the plant, we control the manufacturing process, and then we also have the retail and the distribution side of things. And really what that all looks like is something in between that kind of ties all of that together is something else we do very special is called entertainment. So we also have an entertainment aspect to our business. We do some really fun and interesting things around, you know, getting properties in our area that are close by to our dispensaries that also have this element of whether it's playing arcades or whether it's bowling or whether it's, you know, a lounge or something of that nature. So so High Haven really brings together those types of disciplines. So it's not just vertical in its traditional sense, but we also have this entertainment aspect of it, which just really makes things very exciting and allows for this new era of cannabis to kind of come about as people start to become more destigmatized around cannabis and understand that there is just so many different ways to not only consume the product, but to really enjoy the products. You know, we bring a lot of diversity in thinking, I think, as well. So, you know, it's just some thought leadership with entertainment and things like that happening in this space. But what we've done from a diversity standpoint specifically is, you know, me myself being a woman of color in the industry as the founder and the CEO, it certainly is, you know, it comes with its challenges. But we look at the lens of our organization to be just as diverse as the actual consumers of cannabis. And that's kind of how we draw. We draw from people who have experience in the cannabis space. We pull people that may not have cannabis experience, but are truly subject matter experts in their light. And we bring different people from different walks of life together so that we can really have a true vision of what a true vision and a true representation of, you know, what really is it to be a cannabis community member or a cannabis consumer or a cannabis advocate or any of those things.
So you're the chair of the Social Equity and Advocacy Committee for the Illinois Women in Cannabis. You just mentioned being a woman of color in the industry. So tell us about how being a woman of color has impacted your experience in cannabis and what you're working towards in your position as the chair of social equity, how those two come together.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm honored to be the chair of Illinois Women in Cannabis's Social Equity Committee. It's really is an honor. The group is great. We've been trying to do a lot of work in Illinois around social equity. And IWC has been one of those organizations that's been around for quite some time since the beginning of Illinois' cannabis ventures beginning. And you know, some of the big things that we're working on there for that initiative is we're really talking about, you know, what is it the preferred language? How do we, again, you know, really hit on with what kind of language do we use in our communities around social equity? What is social equity really described to be? In Illinois, it's different than potentially in Michigan. And, you know, it's a little bit different in other places. But I think what's agreeable amongst all communities is that this is really righting the wrongs of the war on drugs, in particularly on cannabis. And so when we look at it with that particular lens, and we know that we're trying to cure some of the rights that have been done with, you know, with just unbelievably inaccurate perceptions of the drug, but also of the fact that there is so many there's just been such harsh laws for something that just really doesn't need to be that same way. So I think we all come to an agreement that, you know, it's this disproportionately impacted community. And so how do we do, what do we do to really help them? So language is everything. We've, you know, been working on documents that just talks about things like, how do we talk about versus, you know, the formal market and the informal market or, you know, versus the black market, and just using terminology that makes more sense for our communities and for our people, and really start to think about, you know, self-thought and our self-conduct and things like that. And that's just one level of work. But other things we've started to do is here, particularly in Illinois, social equity applicants are very specific, and they have some certain criteria that they need to meet. And they also have some special benefits that they can reach through their social equity status. Like there's a loan that's available here through the state. And if you're a social equity applicant, you can apply for these, you know, for these particular loans. And so this, the IWC committee, we put together these workshops that help people to understand what do those loans look like and what is a fair way or fair market interest rate for a loan of this nature. Some of these folks through social equity truly may not have ever even taken a loan. And they don't know this process. And, you know, what does a personal financial income statement even look like? So doing workshops like that to help the population really understand, you know, and have the best level of success with the tools that they have been given. And so it's really important to me because I have the good nature and I have the good fortune, I should say, really, of having an MBA under my belt. I have a business degree. I can understand these concepts relatively well. But for my other social equity counterparts who know cannabis tremendously well, who understand this industry, want to play ball with it, might not have the same amount of, you know, MBA. They might not have an MBA on their belt. And so they need a little bit extra assistance. So IWC does a lot of different things like that specifically. We help with, you know, putting workshops together. There's a couple other groups in Illinois that I'm really well involved with. Growmentum Labs is a cannabis accelerator, a social equity cannabis accelerator. First of its own kind, doing some very similar work like that. We take people through an MBA-like program, technical training, allow them to help with, you know, putting their pitch decks together and really helping them find seed funding and different things like that. So some really exciting things in this market, you know, and what we're really looking to do to help support social equity applicants have the best success. We know that, you know, most of these states now have some really large multi-state operators that are that have claimed a lot of the ground and are great and are doing a bunch of great work, but for these new social equity applicants and winners and license holders now, there really needs to be a lot of support to get them to catch up for the last 5-6 years and really decades, right?
Can you share with us an inspiring story, a success story of someone that you've helped?
Yeah, I certainly can. I have a couple. I can think of, there is a woman who works with me side by side often on a regular basis. And we worked at our last organization together as well. And at our last organization, you know, we both had certain roles and, you know, I would focus a little bit more marketing. She had a little bit more of an HR role, certain things like that. And we talk a little bit about the fact that after we left that organization, how much more our capacity to do the work that was really not part of the day-to-day of an HR or marketing person, but really how much, you know, if you take off the limitations that you have, how much more you can really do. And even if you, you know, weren't an attorney and don't know so much about law, if you just, you know, start to educate yourself and start to spend time around it, you end up learning so much more around it. And I think those are some of the success stories that, you know, truly High Haven has been able to bring to the table. Some of our people, like I said, are subject matter experts. They've done, you know, one thing for a very long time, like our grower. They're really, really good at it. And so we, you know, keep them focused on that piece of it. But if our grower comes to us and says, Maj, I want to have an opportunity to, you know, maybe be the facility manager, because now I feel like I have a not only an aptitude on what we need to grow, obviously we're really well, but I'm starting to become more involved in how we handle the other, you know, key performing indicators of our business and our facility. And I want to be more involved in that side of it. And so giving them an opportunity to intern within our own organization, and then giving them an opportunity to give that position and, you know, a real a real opening for them, a real good opportunity for them to grow their careers. And so we've done that throughout our organization. We've taken some of our best people and we've given them opportunities to be in chief, you know, operating or chief level positions or in director positions. And you know, we see that sometimes in the cannabis space, what happened over several years is that people went out to go look for, you know, well, let's go hire the hotshot from Pepsi or let's go hire the hotshot from this, you know, see these consumer packaged good companies. And I think that's a great strategy to some extent, but we also know that growing organically and having loyalty in all of that within organizations really, really is great. And bringing those subject matter experts to train our own people and to give them the support is really something that's unique and not very much happening in this space often because people are looking to grow so quickly. So we've really taken a keen eye at that. And how do we really build out our workforce? How do we really develop our people? And I think that's something we do super unique and it's rewarding. It's rewarding work.
Yeah, it's really interesting looking at, you know, kind of what the corporate professionals bring to the table with their expertise. But you do have to have a balance between people who have really deeply understand the cannabis industry and have been in it for a while, because there are still gaps. I've seen so many people come from the corporate world and think they know everything about cannabis and fall flat on their face because they just can't accept how different of an industry it is.
Yeah, absolutely. You're so right on that. That's exactly what ends up happening. And you know, I think that, as you mentioned, you know, a good sign of somebody, especially when you're switching to such a different industry. For me, coming from, you know, healthcare, going to cannabis, there was months of time where I would look and be like, is this really a conversation that we're having? And, you know, in the cannabis, in the healthcare world, no way any of this stuff would fly. And just, you know, there's just such a night and day difference between how more mature industries kind of manage just day-to-day operations, workflows, you know, and then what it looks like in a startup, and not just a startup, but a startup in a startup industry. So there aren't these benchmarks to follow. You can't just think that, you know, oh, what worked in one industry is going to work in another. And what works for every consumer packaged good is going to work for the same thing. Sure, there are certainly some principles, but cannabis, as we know, is very different. It's a very different product. There's a very different type of connoisseurism that happens with it. There's a very different amount of just demographic breakdown that just doesn't follow the lines of other things. It's recession proof. There's just so many other things that it does not follow the regular rules of other, you know, consumer packaged good products. So if that's the case, then, you know, we need to really have that innovation. We need to build out the industry enough that we can understand what those true markers are for our space and for the cannabis space.
So there's a concept that I am very fascinated by right now that a client of mine enlightened me to, and that is that cannabis forces innovation because this industry has so many nuanced requirements that from an ERP system to, you know, a mobile app, everything has to be considered differently. And it's actually moving technology forward very quickly in order to, because you've got to create from basically everything from the ground up specifically to match cannabis. Where are you seeing this innovation happening? And I'm really curious about it from that healthcare perspective, because there's a lot of innovation that happens in healthcare. Where are you seeing that innovation in cannabis kind of dovetail with healthcare?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, I think that's an interesting question. I like that you're thinking about the healthcare aspect of it, but there's just so many other industries too that pull from this. And, you know, I would say you're 100% accurate on the fact that technology is just becoming more and more the side runner for everything cannabis does. You know, it's one of our larger expenses. It's even as if you want to be able to play, you know, you want to compete in a market that is, you know, with all of these larger multi-state operators and these entities that have, you know, tens of 20s and 50s and 60s and 90s, hundreds of retail locations. How do you really compete with these folks? And it is through some technology base. You know, how can you make informed decisions? What are you able to do live time? And I think that in the healthcare world, you know, that's always been something that's been a struggle. When you think about patients that discharge from hospitals, you think about the fact that their medications are like one of the biggest issues in getting that transitioned over to, say, if they're going to a nursing home or if they're going to a home, or if they need to get their medicine at the pharmacy, one of the biggest things that happens is some kind of medication error and transferring those medications upon discharge, because there's this level of transition that's taking place, right? And so in vertical companies in cannabis, that's similar. You know, how is the information flowing from your grow over to your cultivation, or even interdisciplinary within each department? How do we know the inventory is ready for us to go? You know, and products are being moved from now, you know, curing or to like, you know, the vault now, and just understanding where we're moving all of that. It really has to be live time. And so I think that, you know, being able to track the products the way that we do, obviously, is wise, and the state wants us to do it. And it really is a helpful resource for all of us to know where we're capturing it. But because of those types of things, because of the very heavy compliance measures that we have to follow, and then with the amount of moving parts for all of these organizations, it ends up being something that we have to have, you know, the technology that can kind of keep up. And so just with, like you said, like even like website development and e-commerce for retail end of things, I mean, even that moves so quickly. And, you know, we have to change menu items on a day-to-day basis. What's in stock? One of the worst things for a customer to experience is, you know, you put something into your cart, you think it's there, you get there, and I'm sorry, it's not there anymore. It wasn't, you know, it's just not live time. So I think we've really accomplished a lot of these tech companies in the cannabis space just are, you know, it's, I mean, it's just a new, a second coming of the tech industry, and it's following the coattails of cannabis, which is super cool. But it really helps companies like ours. You know, I call us the second generation of cannabis in the Midwest, especially where, you know, these like first round went up and they did things a little bit differently. Well, the second round of groups, these social equity folks, a lot of us are. And, you know, we've come to the market with the experience that we saw from the other organizations and, of course, whatever history of, you know, background we have. But then we're bringing this into play and seeing what worked well for these organizations on their first rounds, what did not, and really being able to know that technology was not something that these first round of folks were really paying attention to. So what we notice now is on their second round, or as they're moving forward, they are now trying to, you know, take steps back to say, oh, well, we needed to do this for technology. And those gaps and those integration gaps become so painfully expensive that you kind of have to start to plan the technology integrations from day one.
And so with all of that being said, looking forward to interstate transportation, what are you concerned about based on the technology and where it's at today? Are we ready for this?
You know, interstate, oh my goodness. You know, are we ready for it as an industry? Probably not. But are we never ready for anything in this industry and still take it on? So I have a feeling that, you know, we've got a unique opportunity with Illinois Transporter ourselves here and as a transportation company. And, you know, we think about this often is what would that look like if we could take this internationally or even nationally, right? Or whatever, what would that all look like as cannabis grows up and we become more buttoned up and, you know, as the industry and regulations catch up to where we need to be? What does that all look like? And it could be a really, you know, it could be a really fun place to dabble, but definitely I don't think technology is there yet. I think that, you know, this is like more logistic companies will start to come onto this arena really to help. I think you'll see mergers and acquisitions in spaces around transportation companies just to be able to manage that, a lot of understanding what export looks like. So I think we're a long, long ways from it. I have to tell you, personally speaking, I'm kind of happy. It's hopefully a little ways away. As, you know, just operators in cannabis, we've got so many fish to fry, so to speak, so many departments to manage. We have so many moving parts. And it's literally like, especially the vertical organizations, we have all of these multiple companies that are trying to work together as one system. And you know, it becomes so challenging to do those things anyhow. And as we kind of work through the steps of doing all of that, not being able to have international or national commerce and, you know, doing things state by state, it makes things a little bit easier for us. I think it'll be, you know, when these companies have a couple of years to be able to do this and really, you know, finally like iron out all of our creases, I think it'd be a much more successful project. I hope that, you know, when we do go national, I'm a complete supporter of, you know, federal legalization. It's been a long time coming. I just hope that, you know, the experts are and subject matter experts are brought to the table around what really is the best way to do this. How do we pilot it? How do we make a fair and equitable space by doing this? Not just having MSOs have, you know, their footprint, but really social equity and the smaller businesses that are involved in cannabis too. Where are their voices and how do we help them out?
Okay, so talking about federal legalization, what is it that you are most excited about when it happens, and what are you most concerned about?
Yeah, I think at a personal level, I'm super excited about just living in a, you know, in a time in history that has done something so progressive and just done something that's so on the right side of history. So that is probably the most exciting for me. And like I said, as just a personal, you know, passion for cannabis and admiration for this plant, I think that it's just gotten so much, you know, poor propaganda given its way. And so I think it's going to be really a rewarding time to live through in our, you know, in just history. And I'm sure I'll talk about that as grandma. So that's personally what's the most exciting. I think what's the most frightening is that the lack of understanding that any, you know, real state has to date around how to operate the cannabis. I mean, a lot of them have borrowed from other folks, and, you know, what works well in California, and they're like, okay, great, let's do this in Arizona. And, oh, this worked in Illinois, but, oh, don't do this anywhere else because it didn't work there. And, you know, I think just this lack of really being able to have one system. I look at it like, you know, we talked about healthcare a lot here, so I'll use it in an analogy that makes sense for me. It's like Medicare versus Medicaid. Medicare is like the national program, right? And then Medicaid is the state by state program. And typically, if you think about Medicare, the reimbursement for hospitals and for other organizations happens very quickly. And it's like, you know, this national system that's like, oh, things are a little bit more ironed out. And then when they look at the Medicaid system, which is run by the state, it's a little bit less ironed out. And those payments typically and the reimbursement for organizations and businesses and healthcare are very delayed, or they're very poor, or they're very low at cost and minimum. And so, you know, then it jeopardizes the care for people. They're like, well, you know, because it's a Medicaid patient versus a Medicare patient, my reimbursement just is so different. And then maybe people have a right to refuse care to people like that. They shouldn't, but, you know, this is just the world that you live in. And things like that happen. So that would be my fear, is that, you know, if we didn't know how to really have a well-integrated system, there could be these detrimental people, especially patients, right? We talk about REC is a great opportunity. Everyone's excited about REC, but what happens to the patients? Are they left behind? You know, what kind of opportunity do they get? Do they just get a little tiny shelf to shop in? Are their taxes being protected still? So I think that there's so much more that should be ironed out before we pull on for full legality, and these conversations need to continue to happen.
Wow. Great answer. Thank you. All right. So what are you most looking forward to for High Haven in 2022?
Oh, I'm really excited for 2022. High Haven has so much growth potential. And I mean, we just are, you know, looking to do our expansions with transportation in Illinois and a few other projects. We're also looking at a few more states, East Coast, and potentially something more Southwest. So we're just really excited about the growth. We're also excited to launch our product lines and really bring some, you know, great cannabis to the market. And that's really it. We're excited to grow the team, you know, just in such a short amount of time. We've grown from just having, you know, four people at the table to now 30 some or whatever we've got, 40 some. And as the company continues to grow, you know, each month we're adding tens and twenties of people together to the team. So just to see that growth and see where we'll be in 2022 from, you know, an employer standpoint, just being able to do the right for our employees, it's going to be so fantastic. And then to see the product lines grow and to see, you know, really customers engaging with our products, connecting with what we were doing brand-wise, what we stand for from a value standpoint, I'm excited to get that out to the public. I think it's a breath of fresh air that cannabis really needs.
That's awesome. All right. So where can women find you if they want to connect or get more information?
Absolutely. So you heard a little bit of the work I do at IWC. You can always check up on them. You can check out our websites, always at highhavencannabis.com, of course. Send any message. High Haven LLC is our Instagram handle. We're working to grow out some of our social media, so you'll have a couple more avenues to reach out. But LinkedIn is always a great one. Don't hesitate to reach out. I will apologize if it takes a little bit of time to respond back. But you can always send emails too to info@highhavencannabis.com. We, you know, are always looking to get insight from anybody who's interested in hearing more about our company and for us to, you know, help anybody out that we can.
Thank you so much, Maja, for your time and for sharing your journey with us today. Ladies, thank you for tuning in. If you haven't yet joined the Women Empowered in Cannabis community, go to our new membership site at weicwomen.com. There you'll find all the details on membership for women working in cannabis. You can also find us on Clubhouse as WEIC, where we host AMA rooms with investors and recruiters and monthly open mics to introduce yourself to the community. WEIC is a community that provides resources, connections, events, and content to women working in cannabis in the U.S., Canada, and around the world where there's an interest in cannabis legalization. We welcome women who are currently working in cannabis or curious about taking the leap into the industry. Consider becoming a WEIC Woman member or WEIC Business member for benefits and access across the network. And join us again for another conversation with women leading in cannabis.
Thanks for listening to today's show. To check out more great cannabis podcasts, go to podconnects.com. Here's a preview of one of our other shows.
Tune into a major journey podcast today, where guests take listeners on journeys and immerse themselves in the roller coaster ride both in and out of the cannabis space that brought them to where they are today. Throughout our conversations, guests share valuable lessons that they've learned along the way that listeners can use to empower growth both in their personal and professional lives. Check out A Major Journey today on all major podcast platforms.